First Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And I just want to dwell briefly on the two verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And first, the first thing I'd like to focus on here in these two verses, first is how Paul defines himself. He defines himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now there's a number of passages, number of verses that I want us to look at that will help us appreciate how Paul defines himself here. Because what we have in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, is a statement about his apostleship, a statement about his apostolic authority. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8, you see what I mean when we talk about Paul defining his apostolic authority, defining his apostleship. Well, let's start at verse 1. Now, I Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. And I think you get the picture immediately of Paul defining defending his apostleship, defending his apostolic authority, which of course was questioned greatly by the Corinthian saints. He goes on to say in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. And that's the issue there. It's Paul's apostleship, his apostolic authority was questioned and challenged by the Corinthian saints and put down even by the Corinthian saints. And here as he introduces himself to in this letter to Timothy, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And my point to you is what Paul does there, he makes a statement about his apostleship. He makes a statement about his apostolic authority. And he puts Timothy in remembrance of that. You remember Miriam and Aaron Numbers chapter 12. Now, in this case, it is not so much that Paul's apostleship, this authority, is being questioned by Timothy, but rather Paul's reference or setting forth or making a statement about his apostleship, his apostolic authority, how he defines himself to Timothy, and the when you think about his greetings to Timothy, what you learn there is that it is a way of exhorting as well as providing comfort to Timothy. And it's a way of exhorting and providing comfort to the saints in general, because in all of his epistles, you know, he makes reference to his apostleship, his authority, and he also makes reference, you know, in his greetings to the grace of God and the peace of God, God's official attitude toward the world, being one of grace and peace. In doing that, it's a way of exhorting the saints, and it is a way of comforting the saints. But I refer you to Numbers 12 just so that you understand sometime, in the case of Paul's apostleship, being a believer, being a servant of God, and when you look at the other saints, you know, those who have come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of his ministry, sometimes people get the idea that they're on the same level as that of the Apostle Paul. Much of what you hear in Christendom today, when they speak of Paul, especially the pastors, especially those who are in positions of leadership, you know, over an assembly of believers, they tend to, in their preaching and their teaching, they tend to equate themselves, place themselves on the same par, on the same level of that of the Apostle Paul, and not just Paul, but that of the 12 as well. And that's, there's a problem in that, and you see that in the chapter. That being a believer, as Paul is a believer and is saved, in that fellowship, yes, we're all one. And we all share equally in the benefits of the blessings that we have in Christ. But there is still a principle of subjection. For example, there's neither male nor female in the body of Christ, but there's still the principle of subjection. Husbands, love your wives, wives be in subjection to your husband in everything, that kind of a thing. There is the, you know, in the local assembly, you have the pastors and, you know, the elders, the pastor or the bishops and the deacons. They're the leadership. They're the eldership in the assembly. And they are the caretakers, as it were. They're the authority, and the saints are to be in subjection to them. There is not that equality in that regard in the Godhead, in reference to the essence, in reference to the being of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equal. They're all one. But in terms of their relationship one to the other, there is not that equality. There is a principle of subjection. They're all in subjection one to the other. But there is clearly a hierarchy in the Godhead. You have the Father, you have the Son, and then you have the Holy Spirit. And there is not the equality in that regard. So likewise, with regards to authority in the local assembly, the elders are the authority in the local assembly. But they're not to lord it over the saints. But the fact of the matter is, though, they're given charge. They have the greatest responsibility in that relationship between the saints and the eldership, the bishops and the deacons. Now, in Numbers chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And the idea there is, you know, who died and made you chief, Moses? What right do you have to be the voice or to be the authority? Hath the Lord only spoken by you? And of course, God heard that, as the passage says, and he sets the matter straight. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. And here's the great difference between Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. God had made Moses the head steward in that household of faith. Likewise, in the dispensation of grace in the household of faith today, the Apostle Paul is made the head steward. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me to you with. You see, the authority was given to the Apostle Paul. The dispensation of grace. When you think of a dispensation is the law of a household or house law. Paul was made the head steward like Moses was under the law. He was the authority. He was the dispenser. He was the steward. The chief steward, the head steward, as it were. Did he govern by himself? No. Aaron and Miriam shared in the leadership. But Moses was the authority. In other words, God's word came through Moses, as it were. Moses was designed and set forth to be the voice of God in relationship to the people of Israel. And just as when Moses spoke, it was whenever Moses set forth the word of God, the people were to listen to what he said. Likewise, Paul makes a statement in 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. And the point, again, is Paul is setting forth his authority, that he is the voice of God. And when you think about the epistle to Timothy, you think about the times in which Paul is addressing Timothy and the concerns that he has for Timothy and the ministry at this time. Remember in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall do what? Depart. Or in the last days, some shall do what? Depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so Paul, rightly so, asserts his apostleship and his apostolic authority as a means of exhorting as well as a means of comforting, that his ministry and his message is sanctioned, is ordained by God Almighty. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. He says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. In other words, it's another way of saying that to follow Paul is to be in the will of God. And again, that's a way of exhorting, but it's also a way of comforting. To know that when you're following Paul, you're in the will of God. And that to me is very comforting. But it's also a way of exhorting me to persevere, to press on in that course, to follow that course, to pursue that ministry. Now he goes on to say in other places, for example, if you look at Romans 15, verse 15, there Paul says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly. And there again, he asserts his authority. He asserts his apostleship. He said, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. And again, what is he doing? He's asserting his apostleship, his apostolic authority, as a way of exhorting, as a way of comforting, as a way of just saying that, again, to follow Paul is to be in the will of God. Romans chapter 1, you see him do it again. And he does it time and time again throughout the course of this ministry, throughout all of his epistles. His apostleship, his apostolic authority is asserted time and time again. Because you understand, many question and challenge Paul's authority. And it is not wise to question or to challenge Paul's authority. It is not wise to exalt one's own ideas, one's own authority, against that of the Apostle Paul for any reason in the dispensation of grace. Because though Paul himself is not with us in person, his writings, Romans to Philemon, still are the defining word for you and I today. Set forth God's will for us today. And in reality, we are still following Paul. Not until the rapture will Pauline authority cease that Paul's words cease to govern the body of Christ. When we move out into the heavenly places, of course, at that time, we'll all be perfect representations of Christ in the heavenly places. And we would have that direct link to the mind of Christ. But in the dispensation of grace, the mind of God, the will of God, the words of God, the mind of Christ comes through the Apostle Paul for you and I today. And when people question or challenge or exalt their position against that of the Apostle Paul, they are exalting themselves. They're making the same mistake that Miriam and Aaron made. Just because you're a believer, just because you're saved, does not exalt your status on the same par with that of the Apostle Paul. No preacher in his position or in his teaching supersedes or excels that teachings of the Apostle Paul. It is Paul's teaching, Paul's word that governs us today in the dispensation of grace, in all matters of faith, in all matters of practice. It is Pauline truth. It is Pauline doctrine. It is the gospel of the grace of God given to him and through him to us. So in Romans 1, notice you see this again being emphasized. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul is servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now notice verse 5. By whom we have received, notice, grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. You see, Paul's apostleship was for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Every church, everywhere, is to be in subjection to Pauline authority, Pauline truth, Pauline teaching. Again in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. When it comes to knowing what truth is today and what is to be believed today, it is to be found in Paul's epistles and in Paul's epistles alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. To the Galatians he writes in Galatians 1:1, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And again, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, Paul writes, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, Is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. So when Paul says to Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, is to exhort Timothy to persevere in being a follower of Paul. Remember in 2 Timothy 2:2 what he said to Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, be Pauline. 1 Timothy 1, in verse 3, he writes, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Persevere in being Pauline. To persevere in being Pauline is to persevere in being in the will of God. And that is a comforting thing to know, that when you're following Paul, you are in the will of God. To do otherwise is not to be in the will of God. You can't be in the will of God if you're not following Paul. You find yourself in opposition to what God is doing, to do otherwise. Now, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of... Now, this his description of God as our Savior and his description of the Lord Jesus Christ as our hope defines his ministry, defines his message. Remember back in Acts 20 and 24? Acts chapter 20, verse 24. This is what Paul says. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, notice, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so when he uses the description of God as our Savior and the description of the Lord Jesus Christ as our hope, he is defining his ministry. He is defining the ministry that Timothy is to follow and promote in his ministry. And that is, again, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Back in Acts 20 and verse 27, you remember how he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. But he's defining the nature and the character of his ministry in referring to God as our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ as our hope. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Jesus Christ. And he does that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. There in Galatians chapter 1, he defines, you remember the theme of the book of Galatians, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free? And the key to preserving that liberty, the key to standing fast in that liberty, there's two issues. The apostleship of Paul, and the gospel of the grace of God. In those first five verses, the key to standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, the apostleship of Paul, the acknowledgement of it, and the acknowledgement of the gospel he preached, the gospel of the grace of God. How that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. He gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world, is what Galatians says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, in fact, in verse 4 and verse 3 through 6, talks about God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Describing God as our Savior and Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ as our hope is a way of defining his ministry, a way of defining his message, and exhorting Timothy to persevere. In fact, he says it outright in 2 Timothy. What I'm trying to communicate to you and set forth here in looking at those two verses is best summed up, in fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, notice what Paul says. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's the message. Nor of me his prisoner, that's the messenger. And that's what Paul is doing at the outset of all of his epistles, in essence. Setting forth his apostleship and setting forth his message as the messenger of grace. Be not thou therefore, but rather he said, but be thou therefore partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. So in that description, he defines his ministry, whereunto he was, as he says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now, he says unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. And now what Paul does is he declares or defines himself, or rather the person rather that he is defining himself to is Timothy. And he describes Timothy as his own son in the faith. Now, I believe that's a special relationship that Paul has to Timothy that is more than just the relationship that he has to believers in general. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, First Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, writing to the Corinthian saints, believers, he says this, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. But I think Paul, when he writes to Timothy, and he says unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, he is emphasizing a special, and I believe a unique relationship he has with Timothy. And I refer you back to Acts chapter 16 as well. Go back to Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish, and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Notice, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. When Paul addresses Timothy, my own son in the faith, he is defining a special and unique relationship he has with Timothy. And I believe even different than that which he had with Titus. I believe he looked, you know, spiritually speaking, I mean, it's a spiritual relationship. And it is a relationship that concerns the ministry. And I believe that Timothy was, you know, you might call Paul's protege or Paul's apprentice, one to whom Paul would pass down his legacy to. And in the pastoral epistles in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, that's exactly what you see Paul doing, and especially in 2 Timothy. Timothy is like a Joshua to Moses in his relationship to Paul. And in essence, Paul is seeking to reproduce himself in the person of Timothy, and hence perpetuate his ministry on and pass his ministry on and entrust his ministry on to Timothy. And if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, and you examine how Paul describes Timothy in his relationship to himself, and how it is that he could entrust Timothy with some very sensitive matters in dealing with the churches that he had gone about and established through the known Gentile world. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, notice, "For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." Who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Now there's another passage, and I can't recall exactly right off the top of my head where it's at. But he talks about the fact that here's an individual that he entrusts to have a certain kind of a care for the saints, like himself, that he could not just entrust to anyone in the same way. He could do that with Timothy. I think it's in the book of Philippians. Yes, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, Paul is describing, again, a very special relationship that he and Timothy had that allows him, enables him to entrust Timothy with sensitive matters concerning the churches. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him," referring to Timothy, "that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." He hath served with me in the gospel. And again, that defines a special relationship that Paul here has with Timothy. Now, if there just in a general sense, if there is an area where we can apply the words about being fruitful and multiplying, it is in this area. We need to reproduce ourselves with regards to the ministry. Generations comes and generation goes. And the way the ministry is preserved from one generation to the next generation is in the reproducing of ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. If you want to see this ministry preserved, and you want to see this ministry perpetuated from one generation to the next, you're going to have to reproduce yourself. You see, one of the great motivations for being rooted and grounded in learning and knowing is so that we can take that information and deposit it in others. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. But that's exactly what's needed of you and I today. When I look at ministries like that of Grace School of the Bible, I can appreciate and value a ministry like that and support a ministry like that because it is in the spirit of the Apostle Paul's ministry of reproducing and promoting and publishing the grace message both near and far. But that's what we are to be about, reproducing ourselves. And not just reproducing anything, but taking the doctrines of Paul, taking the teachings of the Apostle Paul, and reproducing that in others. That is what we... Because what did Paul say? The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. You see, the danger and the threat is the abandoning of the apostleship of Paul and the ministry and the message of the Apostle Paul. That's what our charge is to take that ministry and that message and preach it and teach it. Be instant in season, out of season, reproving and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and the doctrine, the doctrines given to us by the Apostle Paul. And we're to perpetuate that. Paul said to Timothy, to the Corinthians, he's going to send Timothy that he might bring them into remembrance of his ways which be in Christ as he teach everywhere in every church. And in this greetings, again, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a means of exhorting and comforting the believer in a time of great declension, in a time of a great departure from the faith. And it's a way of encouraging and a way of strengthening. As he writes in Romans 8:31, he says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And he says, when he wrote to Timothy, what did he say? "All they which be in Asia have what? Forsaken me." But what is his encouragement? What is his exhortation to Timothy? He says to Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed," 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." Back in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, rather, in chapter 3, verse 10, he says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose of faith, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecution, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But he says to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So again he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. If God be for you, who can be against you? Sometime a stand for the grace message means that you are not in the majority. And you're in the minority of minorities. But continue thou. But continue thou. And that's my prayer for all of us, that we would stand fast in the Pauline authority and in the Pauline message till the Lord comes.